Lift your hands and say, my heart. Can I say, my heart is receptive this morning. I receive God's word as God talking to me. Truth of God's word is taught to me in accuracy and in precision. And at the end of this meeting, I am edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Let's just go into the word already. If you are with your Bibles, I would that you turn with me to Luke 24, Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. Luke Gospel 24, verse 24. It says, and certain of them went, well, some certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Verse 25, and then he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Now, in Luke 24, 44, had Jesus resurrected? Yeah. So when he says, the things that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that will be what? The things he said before he died. Right? So look at what he says. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, yeah, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. So, in the law of Moses would mean the writings of Moses. Are we together? Yeah. In the law of Moses would mean the writings of Moses. Yeah, in the prophets will mean the writings of the prophets. Prophet Ezekiel, yeah, Prophet Isaiah, and Joel, and the likes of them. Yeah, and in the Psalms, what you call the books of, you know, the psalmist. So, Jesus said something. He said, the words I spoke to you before my death are the same words I'm speaking to you after my resurrection, and they are all equal to the same things that Moses spoke, which are all equal to the same thing the prophet said. Are we together? Yeah, so Jesus began to explain from scriptures. Jesus began to explain from scriptures. So we say that the scriptures is what we learn, or the scripture is from which or we learn doctrine, and our persuasions and convictions are established from the scriptures. So it means that anything we want to teach as saints, as doctrine, we need to establish them from the scriptures. Hallelujah. So it will mean that, look at it carefully, it will mean that from Genesis chapter 1, who wrote Genesis chapter 1? Moses, right? So it means from Genesis, which Moses wrote, he spoke about Christ. Look at John 5:45. John 5:45, quickly. Look at John chapter 5, verse 45. It says, do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Verse 46, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. So who did Moses write about particularly in Genesis? Christ, right? Yeah, so it means that we need to pay attention to what Moses said by, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, this morning, we're going to be looking at a subtopic, paying attention to God's spirit. You know, paying attention to God's spirit. Paying attention to God's spirit. Paying attention to God's spirit. And we trust that we have light this morning. Hallelujah. Remember John chapter 8, verse 12. Quickly go there. This month, we are dealing with the series, The Leading of the Spirit. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Can we read that together? 1, 2, 3, go. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, remember, at the time Jesus was on earth, the book of John wasn't written. You know, from Acts chapter 1, we established over time that Jesus explained himself from Genesis to Malachi. Is that true? Jesus didn't resurrect and say, look at where the nail entered. The textbook that Jesus had to explain his death, his burial, his resurrection was Genesis to
Malachi. Yeah, so imagine you go to a physics, a chemistry class, for instance, and your lecturer teaches about empirical formula, for instance. Yeah? So, if he teaches in summary for an hour, 30 minutes, or 2 hours, when he leaves, if you want to understand better what he taught, what do? You go look for his textbook. Yeah? So, if Jesus taught for 40 days, in as much as we don't know the details of what he taught in that meeting, you see, the best that Jesus taught in the meeting, we can only know by seeing what the people that attended the meeting said after he ascended. Let me say that again. The best of what we can know that Jesus taught for 40 days can be seen in what the apostles and disciples that were with him, while he taught for 40 days, what did they teach after the 40 days teaching? So to mean that for the 40 days teaching, Jesus taught from his textbook. What was Jesus' textbook? Genesis to Malachi. That is the writings of Moses, the writings of the prophet, and the writings of the Psalms. Hallelujah. So this morning, we'll look at something interesting. Let's dabble into Genesis chapter 1 quickly. Let's dabble into Genesis chapter 1 quickly. Genesis chapter 1. I know an average Christian can quote Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Yeah, look at verse 2. And it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, remember, who wrote this? What did Jesus say about what Moses wrote? He wrote about him. So, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. Yeah, so it means that as saints, we should see Jesus and salvation in Genesis 1, verse 1, 2, 3. And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. Look at Mark 4, quickly. Mark chapter 4. Look at Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 verse 8, thereabouts. Okay. Look at Mark 4, 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. What does a sower do? He sows, right? Yeah, look at. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Yeah, verse 5. And some fell on stony ground. So we know this story, right? Some fell on the stony ground. Some fell on the whatever ground. Look at verse 9. And he said unto them, pay attention, dear saints. He said unto them, he that hath ears, let him what? Let him hear, right? Look at verse 10. And when he was alone, so Jesus has finished talking to the public. When he was alone, what happened? They that were about him with the 12 asked him of what he meant by the parable. Look at what he says in verse 11. And he said unto them, it is given unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Look at verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, by and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So it will mean, look at this saint, it will mean, look at what Jesus said. Look at how we ended that statement. He says, lest at any time they be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So it will mean that the parable that Jesus spoke about, a sower and a seed, and a sower that sows, would have to be with their sins forgiven them. Is that true? Okay, the case is not clear. Look at verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? He said, if we don't know this parable, how will you know other parables? Let's now see the explanation of the parable. Look at verse 14. The sower sowed the word. Yeah? The sower sowed what? The word. What does the sower sow normally? Seed. Right? What does the sower sow normally? Seed. The sower sowed the word. Look at verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Follow attentive lessons. When you are a farmer and you sow a seed, where do you sow your seed? On the ground. Right? So you sow your seed on the ground. What is the ground? The earth. Yeah, so be thinking of Genesis 1. The earth was without form, right? So you sow your seed on the ground. But in Jesus' parable, where is that seed sown? Look at the last line. And taketh away the seed that was sown in their heart. So an agriculturist, a farmer, sows a seed on the earth. But Jesus used that figurative or that literal analysis to teach about a figurative sowing of the word in the heart. So, farmer A, everyone look at me. Farmer A has a seed. What does he plant it on the earth? Farmer B has a seed. Seed is the word. Where does he plant the word? In the heart. Are we together? Go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, listen attentively. Now, did God create the heaven and the earth for him to stay in the heaven? Think about it. If it says in the beginning, it means at the beginning of time, right? That means there was a time started. But God lives outside of time. So if God lives outside of time and created heaven and earth, it will mean that he didn't create heaven for him to dwell. It will mean that we should pay attention to what Moses is speaking. Now, when Moses says God created heaven and earth, is Moses speaking about the sky and where you are standing? If you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So it means we should pay attention to what Moses really was talking about. Yeah, so look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. Now, the earth is where a sower that has a seed plants a seed. Meanwhile, the heart, rather, is where the sower with the word plants his word. So when Moses says the earth was without form, what would that speak about? Will it speak about the earth surface or the heart of a man? What did Jesus tell him in Mark 4? Yeah? The sower soweth the word. So when he says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What would darkness upon the face of the deep be? Is equal to what? The earth was without form and void. So, can you see, Moses is that really teaching about unbelief and belief? Yeah? Look at it. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What would be the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water? Go to verse 3. And God said, let there be what? And there was light. God said, let there be light. There was light. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:2 quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What is Paul saying? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Does God hide? So if you remember that our teaching on our first investigative scripture series 1, there was a figure of speech we used, meet on me. Remember that figure of speech? Yeah? When a name of someone is mentioned in an activity, but he's totally absent from the activity. For instance, when you say the wrath of God, yeah, there's no wrath in God. Wrath is a fruit of the flesh. So for you to say God is a spirit, and there is wrath in God, it means that God, who is a spirit, manifested the fruit of the flesh. Yeah, there's no anger in God. God has never been angry, will never be angry. Yeah, for you to say God is angry, there's no need for us to read where scripture says put anger away. Because as he is, so are we. Why don't you just behave like him who is angry? Yeah, so there's that figure of speech called metonymy, where a name of an individual is mentioned in an activity, but is totally absent from the activity. So when you say God hides, God doesn't hide, but whatever God says is hidden in the fact that a heart is in unbelief. Okay, look at this again. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them, which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So who is the image of God? So when God said, let us make man in our own image, who is that speaking about? You are Christ. It has to be Christ. Yeah, who is the image of God? Christ. Look at it again. He says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, yeah, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So go back to Genesis 1 verse 3. When God said, let there be light, what was he saying? Okay, use 2 Corinthians 4. God said, let there be light. Complete the light that 2 Corinthians 4 shows you. The light of the glorious gospel. So, and God said, let there be light. Let there be the light of the glorious gospel. And there was the light of the glorious gospel. So, to tell you that the gospel and the work of Christ was not an afterthought or an after effect of what Adam did. Yeah? Adam did not do what he did. And God now say, oh, the remedy is Hey, in fact, what Adam did had to do with the remedy, because he disobeyed the remedy. So, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, if the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the earth there is what? The heart of man. So, where 2 Corinthians 4 now tells you that those that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded, what does it mean? The heart of a man who is in unbelief is the heart of one who has not received the gospel. Yeah, you know, our next series is understanding salvation. So we're going to explain this better. Yeah? So when he says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Yeah, to me, so Moses was really describing a heart of unbelief. So, and God said, let there be light. And there was, look at verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now, remember John 8, 12. He that followeth me has the light of life. And God saw that the light, and that it was good. And God divided light from darkness. What does God divide light from darkness mean? If light is the light of the glorious gospel. So, if you are an unbeliever, and I preach the gospel to him, which is light. What does he have? Light. John 8, 12. He that followeth me, that is he that believes me, shall have. So, me shining the light of the gospel to him gives him light. Right? So, if he receives it, he has light. If he rejects it, what does he have? He remains in darkness. So, when he says, and God saw the light that was good, and God divided the light from darkness, what does that mean? Moses is really explaining the same thing. Unbelief and belief. A man that believes is the one with light. He that followeth me shall have the light of life. Yeah? And the man with unbelief is what? Darkness. Look at verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. What is he saying? The same thing. So who is day? The believer. Who is night? So do you see what Moses was explaining? Do you see what Moses was explaining? From Genesis 1. So from Genesis 1, we have Christ presented. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see something very important in Moses' teaching. Very, very important. Now look at John 1. Look at John 1:1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read the scripture together as a family. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Where do you think John is writing from? Genesis 1. Hallelujah. Remember this. When we were in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, what did we say God said, let there be light is? Let there be the light of the glorious gospel. Can we say, let there be the word of God? Can we say, let there be the message of Christ? Yeah. So, John now, in case you didn't understand from Genesis 1, John now tells you the summary of. So, the first time you see in the beginning, it was Genesis 1. So, Genesis is explaining in the beginning from Genesis 1. John, rather, is explaining in the beginning from Genesis 1. So, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. That word there, word, is the word that means logos. Yeah? The word that means logos. That word there, logos, means a logic, a thought pattern. Yeah? A thought pattern. So, in the beginning was the word. And so, John summarizes Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4 in one verse. There is the word of the light. There is a word that is the light of the glorious gospel. Which one believes or unbelieves? Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was what? Life, and the life was the, was the, was the, and God called the light what? Day. Yeah, in him was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So when you see Genesis 1, talking about light, talking about earth, he's speaking about the heart of a man who believes and doesn't believe. Now, take note of this. Did God create the heavens and the earth? Find it in a place in your heart to believe. Yeah? Did God, okay, let me bring it down. Did God create the sky and where you are standing? He did. Was Moses there when he did it? How did Moses know? Oral tradition was the means by which stories and all those things were passed from generation to generation. How do you know about your grandfather? How do you know about your great grandfather? Were you there when I was? Have you ever seen your great grandfather? You never. But you know about him. Yeah. Why? Because you were told. So Moses was born in Exodus. He was told what happened from Genesis to that point. Then he used the story he was told to write about Christ. Are we together? He used the story he was told to write about Christ. So, in writing about the true state of the way things were, he wrote about Christ. Are we together, dear saints? Are we together, dear saints? Go back to Genesis 1. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 3. You see, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. What did God do? Look at it again. What did God do? God said. No, is that not what he did? Yeah, look at it again. God said. Now, remember, in as much as Moses is writing about something else, we need to pay attention to what he was writing. What we do as Christians is that most times we end up putting our attention on only the story and forgetting what the story really meant. Yeah, so anytime you see that word light, yeah, could be that which shines or that which carries light. Yeah, anytime you see that word there, light, it could mean that which shines or that which carries light. We've seen from John chapter 1 that Jesus is light. So it would mean that whatever God was speaking about in Genesis 1 had to do with supernatural or the spiritual. When you just see God said, let there be light, the major thing your heart should go to is that let there be an illumination of some sort. Yeah, let there be a type of illumination of some sort. When you have light, you have direction. Is that true? Yeah, when you have light, you have guidance. When you have light, you have direction. When you have light, you have guidance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before you continue in Genesis 1, quickly, that John 1 where we're reading, go back there, please. John 1, 17. John chapter 1, verse 17. Look at it. For the law was given by God. Okay, sorry, Moses, right? Okay. So, for the law was given by who? Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see that word there, grace and truth. That word there, and is that is kai. Yeah, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship. You know that thing we always say, right? Yeah, so, and there is actually speaking of an explanation of what was said before. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, which is the fellowship of the Spirit with us all. So that word there, and is grace that is truth. That word there, truth, is the word reality. So grace that is the reality, yeah, came by Jesus Christ. For the law was given. That word they're given is the word offered. Did God give them the law? Did God give them the law? Who offered them the law? Do you know why you cannot say God give them the law? It gives them the law. It will mean that God, that will now validate that scripture. You know when we say Romans 12, that you might know the good, the perfect, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. They're saying there's nothing like good will of God, acceptable will of God, perfect will of God. That's how we used to confuse ourselves with marriage. This is God's will. This is God. You are just God's good will. My brother is just acceptable. Yeah? And this is perfect. God doesn't have three options. See, my daughter, you know you have free will. Eh? This is good. This one too is acceptable, but I advise you to go for perfect. No. You see, God doesn't choose husbands and wives. So let's stop deceiving ourselves. God doesn't choose husbands. People say that you are the rib of my rib. See, any lady here, sisters, if your husband tell you that thing, just tell him back to where you are coming from. That's a well polished way of saying back to sender. Yeah, because if Moses wrote about Jesus, it will mean that when Moses said rib from Adam's rib, we'll speak about Christ and the church. Right? So it means that we should pay attention to what Adam is saying. So God does not choose one people for you. God did not, there's nothing like before I ordained you, this was your wife. No, don't wash people more than what they are. And we men, we always want to say more than what it is sometimes. Amen. Some sometimes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah? So, there's nothing like this, man. Look at that. If, okay, let's assume you were the ordained person for him. Let's not use you as an example. Let's assume this stuff was the ordained person for this person. What happens if this person was not led and married another person? This man has to either remain unmarried or forever. It will mean that the person that one married, the one that's supposed to marry that one, has to remain unmarried forever. It will mean that one has... You see the implication of what you're saying? You see the implication of what you're saying? The second thing is going, nobody will marry. Do you understand? So it will mean that those men that marry two women or two wives, they've taken somebody. So that person. So it should be a situation like this. You are going out one day. So you're going to say, that's actually your ribu. But you see her with her husband. That's like, you understand? So you're going to say, yeah, and you will now be by the boldness of the Holy Ghost. You walk towards her and say, that's the ribu of my ribu. What are you doing with that man? I claim, you know, that's where the confession, I claim. Yeah, so really, this is the point. What was I saying before I went to what I was saying? Moses was writing about Christ before that. The law, what exactly? The law wasn't given, but yeah, so I remember. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Yeah, I'm back there, right? Yeah, so that scripture, good that is acceptable, that is perfect. Everybody doesn't have three options. Yeah, just pick the one. Yeah, so you have three job offers. The Spirit of God not telling you, this one is good though. This one will accept teacher, but this one is perfect. You don't realize that usually the one that they will say is perfect is the one that will take them away from church. The one that they will be more busy now, and the one that will have more money. And so God doesn't do all those. It's always the perfect one. Yeah. So the law was offered by Moses. Why did Moses give them the law? Matthew 19. Because of the hardness of their hearts. God's plan from time was not the law. The law is an afterthought. So, the law was offered by Moses, but grace that is the reality, we see it in the person of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, it means something. It means that if we have already acknowledged that Moses wrote about Christ, we need to pay attention to Moses' writings. Yeah, between the writings and the manifestation, which one comes first? Yeah, okay, look at it. Between the writings of the prophet and Jesus' death and resurrection, which one came first? So the writing actually precedes the manifestation. Is that true? Yeah, so we need to pay attention to some things in that. The law was offered by Moses. Yeah? Your attention should be on Christ. Now, it will mean that if Moses wrote about Christ, John 5:46, it means that, you know that the writings of Moses is one of the most important writings in the entire scriptures. So that no other prophet, there's no other prophet including Jesus that did not quote Moses. In the time of Ezekiel, what was their Bible? Moses' writing. In the time of Isaiah, what was his Bible? So, do you realize that over time, knowledge became clearer? Yeah, so there was a time, if you read 1 Samuel 24, look at 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. No, 2 Samuel, is it 2 Samuel 24? Look at it carefully. Look at it. Yeah, this one I'm looking for. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Yeah, so when you see the anger of the Lord, that will be figure of speech. Yeah, and let's see that. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel and moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. What 2 Samuel is telling you that anger of God prompted David to go number the people. Look at verse 10. And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. Is the Bible not confusing? Is the Bible not confusing? So maybe the anger of the Lord asked him, why is he now saying he's sorry? The Bible is a book that should be read in a systematic order. Yeah, there's something called systematic theology. We patiently go through scriptures to unfold the things that were said in scriptures. Within 10 verses, there's confusion. God said, go and number them. After he finished numbering them, Bible now says that his heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in thee. Look at it. I have sinned greatly in what you asked me to do. Look at 1 Corinthians 21. Let's read this together. First Chronicles chapter 21 verse 1. You're laughing already. What does he say? Is that not the same Bible? One said the Lord, one said Satan. Whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Yeah, so it means for us to clear gray areas in Old Testament books, we need to have a lens to revisit it, such that when you clearly see that God killed so and so, your mind should know that that cannot be the God, the Father of our Lord and Savior. But God's name was mentioned. So, can God's name be mentioned in an activity, but he's not there at all? Second Samuel was written before First Chronicle. So, it means that after time, knowledge increased. The same story that was written in Samuel was written in Chronicles. One will see the Lord, one will see Satan. See, that's why you see people who say they are atheists. They are atheists because they seem to have confusing statements in the Bible. The Bible is not a confusing book. The Bible in itself is not a confusing book. The confusion that people have from the Bible is in their hearts. Now, it would mean that when Jesus taught, he was teaching from 1 Samuel also. How do you think he must have cleared it? So, that it is there doesn't mean it is there. That you see it clearly doesn't mean it is there. That you see that God destroyed the earth with flood doesn't mean God is there. Are we together? Yeah, so some things you see in scriptures might be stated, might be clearly seen, but doesn't mean that it is true. That's why Bible studies doesn't mean we just come and do jamboree and we are jumping and playing ten times. We are giving, you know, some people in the name, what they hide behind is that we want to give God quality praise. Yeah, quality praise. And then the day all they do is just action, action. Everybody sweat. When it's time for the word, now everybody will be sleeping. Yeah, before you know, everybody's just looking, pastor, talk and go. Pastor, come and go. Let the choir bounce back. You now realize that it's the choir that is actually the main people of the church. Let them bounce back to the altar. Yeah? And all night you drop your offering inside the envelope. You will do. God doesn't, your dance doesn't impress God. Yeah? Remember that series on praise. The most important thing about what we do is what we say. Ka. Ka. Ka, ka, ka. Oh, wrong. Come here. Why won't you be tired? Why won't you be tired? The best that thing does to you is that you burn calories. That's the best. When you praise him, he will raise you. Yeah? When you dance before him and kneel before him, you will stand before king. How many of us have knelt before him? How many of us have stood before local government chairman? By faith. So the best your dancing does is what? You burn calories. I'm sure there's people that wear clothes that will make them, yeah, so that they can they can sweat well. Ah, how service was hot. Why would it not be hot? Why would it not be hot? See, you know, we don't deal with superstition as saints. We don't do superstitious things. You hear people say grace is number five. Five is number of grace. Five. Five is the number of grace. Five is the number of grace. How many letters is grace? G-R-A-C-E. I've expelled devil. Please mistakenly spell Satan. In case it's not there, spell thief. Those are superstitious beliefs. Seven is the number of perfection. In this month of seven, God will perfect all. Oga, calm down. Eight is the number of new beginning. In this month of new beginning, God will. Calm down. Nine is the number of new birth. You're going to give birth to. Calm down. Now, those are superstitious beliefs. Hallelujah. Then 12 is number of government. You know, like clean. Hallelujah. So the saint doesn't deal with superstitious beliefs. If you come to church, what should make you sweat is that you are rejoicing. And you know, two people can be rejoicing, but they're rejoicing about two different things. One is rejoicing that he had a job last week. The other one is rejoicing about the fact that his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. Jesus in Luke chapter 9, disciples went out to heal, do the sick, cast out demons. They came back and said, Jesus, we casted out people, demons in your name. What did Jesus say? Do not rejoice in that, but rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. So understanding this would make you see, you should not, as a saint, be retraceable to when you have money in your account. There are some saints, you know when they have money. They are praised and they are, in fact, the clothes they wear to praise, you know, says it a lot. Says it a lot. Anytime you don't have money, she then will shirt and trouser. When you see them with Abada, you can be sure to know there's money. So the saint must not afford to be superstitious in his dealings with God. This is what will make us have issues with recognizing the leading of the Spirit. Because you've folded your mind, with so much superstition. To the point that you'll be going out in the morning. Somebody, one man will just pray, you're just saying five. You know what I'm saying? That's God speaking to me. Grace is coming my way today. Don't be superstitious in your beliefs. So, praising God must be an end in itself. Worshipping and singing must be, let it be an end in itself. That's why in God's palace we pay attention to the lyrics we say, because that's the most important thing. Eulogy, to speak well of God who has spoken well of us. You see, look at it. What is dancing? What is really dancing? If you ask any of you to come and dance, and you know the latest dance you will dance is the latest dance you will dance. What is the latest dance right now?
No, I said they come.
See, this is good now. We're 20, oh. Even me said. Skelewu. See what's on the flesh. I beg, we're together. We don't know. Ah, but brother, you should not ask him a woo. No, brother, you should not have said anything. Skill a woo 2012. Yeah, so is this guy saying, right? look at it this way. We must not allow the world to lead the things we do in the church. What we do to churches right now, the world sets a template for what they do on Sundays. Somebody was high. Somebody drank. Somebody went to the studio. He was just singing, ha-woo-eh. Little you carry is ha-woo-eh. You change it to, the Lord is. He's good. The Lord, he is. He's good. You are walking, that's canal. There's no other better way to say that's canal. Finally, you just hear laptop. Tap, chap, 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 chap. And the guy say, that is Kelewu beats, Abby. I walk in lights. And she said, wow, those people, they are moved. No, we know how moved you are by what you say. Don't let actions carry you away. The truth is that in this generation, most people, what they want is action. I like when you try and say, yeah, this is what you lift your hands. My hand is paining me. When is the one you have to do? Hey, grand! You see, what is wrong with you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, so go back to Genesis chapter 1. Glory to God. Yeah, but you get the point, right? You get the point. We don't allow the world to influence the things we teach. In God's palace is Christ and Him alone. COVID, no COVID, is Christ we are teaching. Yeah, COVID, no COVID, is God's nature we are teaching. God is good, always good, forever good. Never was He bad, never will He be bad. For God to have been bad at the time, which is by killing, it means that we cannot trust what He will be tomorrow. Yeah, so the church is to teach Christ and Him crucified and Him glorified every day. It's not too much. Nowadays, we have people come to church to learn how to make money and go to their office to go and pray. You know what I mean? When the pastor comes and says, 12 keys to unlock, since you'll be unlocking. What? Is that how difficult the door is? You'll be unlocking. 12 keys for one door. If you have 12 keys, who wants to rob you? If you have 12 keys to open one door, what is behind the door? 12 keys to unlock Since we'll be unlocked, 12 keys, you must be diligent. Why should you not know you should be diligent? When I go to church, or when I go to office on Monday morning, you're supposed to come to church and come and pray. You now go to the office to go and pray. When you're supposed to make money, you are praying. When you're supposed to pray to God, you are making money. Hallelujah. The church must not lose track of what it is called to do. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. Look at your neighbor and say, God said, let there be light. Have you heard about people that believe in gap theory? You know what gap theory is? That there were over 1,000 years between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. You've heard that theory before, have you? So now that we know that Moses wrote about Christ, John 1:45, Philip finally Nathanael and told him and said, we have found him who Moses in the law and the prophets did speak about. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, and from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, can you teach about how to make money from the Bible? Yes, only if you twist the Bible. Yeah? Only if you twist the Bible. Can you teach about success from the Bible? Yes, only if you twist the Bible. You have to twist the Bible to be able to see that God died for your wealth. If you read the Bible sincerely, you will see that Christ died for sin and resurrected for sin and sin alone. Yeah, so people believe that there's gap theory and things like that. Now, look at Acts 3 verse 21. Look at it. It says, whom the heaven must receive. Or look at verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Yeah. Verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things. Yeah. Which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. What did they speak about? A particular thing that Jesus would have to do. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 78 verse 1. Psalm 78 verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to my word, to the words of my mouth. Look at verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable and I will utter dark sayings. Yeah. So, does God speak? Yes. When God speaks and it comes out as dark saying, what does that mean? The heart has unbelief. Because if God is light, there is no shadow to what light will say. Light only brings light and light alone. So, you see God speak and there's a little form of darkness. It is not with what God said, but with the heart of one who is listening. Are we together? Look at 1 Corinthians 2:6. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. Howbeit we speak the wisdom amongst them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak. Look at neighbor and say, we speak. Look at neighbor and say, we speak. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto your glory, which the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, were there prophecies about how Christ was going to die? Yes, clearly in the scriptures. But why did people not know? Because the word was hidden in their hearts. So the reason why they did not know what the holy prophet spoke was because their heart was full of unbelief. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. There's this scripture, wonderful everlasting father. 9:6, 7:14. Beautiful. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Yeah? Where was the son given? Death, resurrection. Where was the child born? Incarnation. Yeah? So a child born, a son given. Two, yet it looks like one. Look at it. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The shoulder of the son given. That's Christ. Yeah? And his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, they had access to this scripture where he said that the government shall be upon his shoulder. So they thought he was the one that was going to restore the kingdom of Israel back to Israelites. At the time of resurrection, Acts chapter 1, the person that they had in power was an imposter, a Roman imposter. So they thought that his death and burial and resurrection was so that he would come and take away the governmental body and return it back to Israel. It's like now we're in Nigeria. Eh? We're in Nigeria. The person that is ruling Nigeria at the president seat is from Gabon. So we are now thinking that Jesus is going to die so that he will restore that seat from a Gabonese person to a Nigerian. So was it in the scripture that a government would be on his shoulder? Yes, but not the government of National Assembly. Yeah, God doesn't call people to go into National Assembly. If you want to be a politician, go and be a politician. Don't involve God. Don't lie on the head of God. I'm led to go rule my people. Oga, what God wants you to do is to win souls. Every other ambition you want to have is your personal goal. So they saw government. They thought it was the government. But it was a government that was supposed to be upon his shoulder. The government of the kingdom of heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the only reason why you see government and think is National Assembly is unbelief in your heart. Now, you might be a Christian but have unbelief in your heart. Is that not true? Doesn't change the fact that you're a believer. The unbelief we're speaking about is now going to be about the slant in which your heart is. When you see government, money. When you see riches of glory, riches of grace. My God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory. When it's riches in glory, yet your slant. Are we together? Give, shall I give unto you good measure, praise, shake it together. Shall men give into your bosom. Your slant has to be unbelief to see your offering time. Your hand has to be slant, like this. That's unbelief slant. But if your hand is fixed and straight, you will see. Read in context. What was he saying? Oh, he didn't even mention money. Ah, see my head. So unbelief is the slant that people have in reading scriptures. When it says Romans 8:32, he that give us his son freely, how will he not so much give us all things? If your heart is like this, go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8 quickly. Romans 8:32. If your heart is like this, you will see something like this. Look at it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he? Look at him and say, how shall he? How shall I? Is it my prosperity? Yes, it's there. Is it your job? Is it your heart? It takes a slant of unbelief to see money. So he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? What are all these things? Go to verse 22. Verse 28. Huh. That's it sounding like Escort. And we know. Go back to verse 26. Oh, no, don't go to 26. That's, go to 26. Likewise, the Spirit. Remember that teaching? Yeah, this is not about prayer. Likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray. Is the word pray there? Yes. Is it speaking about prayer in tongues? No. Yeah? Likewise, you want to lay your hands on that teaching if it sounds confusing. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It's not saying that because you don't know how to pray. The Spirit will not help you pray by praying in tongues. That's not what Paul was teaching. Yeah? He said, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession. What is intercession? Christ maketh intercession by being alive forever. Hebrews 7:25. Yeah? For us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Groanings there is not tongues. Look at verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the man of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession of the same according to his will. Of God, verse 28. Look at it carefully now. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. Dear saints, is this talking about everything on earth? You have to read in context. It will be including when you lie. It will include when you steal. You just go and steal all things that work together for me. Yeah? So, and we know that all these things work together for good. Remember, from chapter 1 to 26, from chapter verse 1 to 26, he's explaining the resurrection of the saints. Yeah, so we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them which are called according to his purpose. Number two, which are called. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. Say number one, foreknow. Number two, he also did predestinate. Number two, say predestinate. Number three, to conform to the image of his son, right? That he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. Him he justified, he also glorified. Verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? What are these things? Whom he called, who he predestinated, who he justified, who he glorified. What shall we say about these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What does that mean? If God is for you, he's the one that justified, he's the one that predestinated, he's the one that called you. If he is on your side, who can be against, who can unjustify you? Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? What are these things? Justification, being called, glorified, and things like that. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that just that clears it. So for you to say, he freely gave us all things, so he that gave us his own. No, 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 no. You have to have a slant of unbelief. Look at it and say, don't have a slant of unbelief. Look at neighbor and say, don't have a slant of unbelief. So it will mean that Moses wrote about Christ. We need to see a lot of things that Christ taught from Moses' writings. So Moses wrote about history with description of God's plan in mind. Moses wrote about the history. Yeah, what is history? Adam begot this, this begot this. But in his writing of that, he was writing God's plan. He was in the creation story to write about salvation story. Go back to Genesis 1. So Moses was writing about human history, but with the writing of human history, he was really writing about what? God's plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Look at verse 2. Moses now introduces something about God. He now says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, and the what? Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved upon face of the water. So you realize something. One major thing that Moses did was Moses now introduced God as spirit. Look at it. He says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So the writer, which was Moses, introduced God as spirit. So it will mean that God's contact, yeah, with humanity will be by what? Did you get that? Yeah, God's contact with humanity will be by his spirit. What is the spirit? His word. What is his word? His light. So, how does God contact a man who is an unbeliever? By the giving of the Spirit. Yeah, that's one of the things Moses is writing there, really. Hallelujah. So, Spirit now, let's do a little study here. That word there, Spirit, is the Hebrew word that is Ruach. That word there, Spirit, is the Hebrew word that is Ruach. R-U-A-C-H. R-U-A-C-H. Yeah, it was used about 377 times and it was used in diverse ways. Yeah, Ruach. Hebrew word ruach was used about 377 times, used in diverse ways, but primarily it was used as wind or that which was which is not seen. Yeah, ruach. Yeah, 377 times, used in diversified way, but primarily used as wind or that which is not seen. Sometimes it could be used as emotions, as feelings, and things like that. Yeah, so usually primarily used for that which is not seen. Sometimes also it can be used as a verb. Something that has life, something lively. Look at Genesis 8 verse 21. Genesis 8 verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart. Now, who was writing? If you say the Lord smelled a sweet savour, it means that... I've heard people say that by the blast of his nostril, he parted the Red Sea. You've heard that by the blast of the most we parted the entirety. What is there before you, you cannot part. If you blast no shoe, no kata comes out. If you just do ha. Yeah. So when you see all those things, is figure or speech. That is using your human attribute to attribute to God, seemingly. Seemingly attributing it to God. So look at what it says. So that word there, and the Lord smelled a sweet savour. That's a figurative expression. No, if that word is not used for someone that has nose, it means an action was done. Yeah, the Lord smelled a sweet savour is equal to an action was done. Figuratively done. Figuratively used, rather. Yeah, look at Genesis 27, 27. Genesis 27, verse 27. It says, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord had blessed. So, it means that word, now, this smell here, will it have to do with perception, to perceive. Yeah, to perceive perception or to make contact. Yeah, so one of the ways that, remember this was the story of when, what's the name of that man that sent his child to the field and the mother did backyard door? Eh? Jacob and Esau. Who's their father? Isaac. Isaac. Yeah. So Isaac sent Esau and the mother used backyard door to bring Jacob in. Right, beautiful. So that's just really story. So when you say he smelled the smell, it means he perceived, or it was a way, the smell of the son that was with him was what made him realize that there was something happening around him or somebody in front of him. So you see that word, the smell. That I'm just trying to show you, that same word actually is the word ruach. And it's the same word used for the spirit. Are we together? Go back to Genesis 1 verse 2. Genesis 1 verse 2. So God's contact with man would be by his spirit. God's contact with man would be by his spirit. It means that God's contact with man will be by his spirit. That also by implication means that God's interaction with man will be spiritual or supernatural. I'll say that again. God's contact with man is by his spirit. God's contact with man is by his spirit. Since we've established that the earth was without form and void, and we said that that is the heart of men, what we now see in next is what? The spirit. So God's contact with man is by spirit. It means that God's interaction with man will be supernatural. Remember, Genesis chapter 1 was written in chapters and verses. So you can read Genesis chapter 1 into verse 3. Yeah. So verse 3 now says, and God said, let there be light. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. We've explained that to mean what? Without form and void. And God said. So, and God said, now explains verse 1 and 2. Right? Verse 1 and 2 will be in relation to verse 3. And God said. Really, that will really actually speak about the new creation itself. Yeah? So, three things we can put together in this little thing we've read. Number one, God. Number two, the Spirit. Number three, speaks. Write that down. Three things we can put together from Genesis 1 and John 1. Number one, God. Number two, Spirit. Number three, speaks. And God said, that means God created the earth by his speaking. Is that true? Yeah? God said, that means God created the earth by his speaking. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, you see, and God said, and God said, and God said. Now, okay, are we good? Are we good? Now, is God a spirit? So, when you say, so is God a spirit? So, is God a spirit? So, if we say the spirit of God, can we say God of God? Yeah? So, can you say spirit of God is actually tautology? But the reason why we say, why Moses actually used the word spirit of God is to show us that the communication of God is in the spirit. Yeah, write it down. Yeah, Moses used the Spirit of God in as much as it was tautology or it is tautology to show that God deals with man supernaturally or in the spirit. Remember, God and the Spirit are not people you can separate. Yeah, God doesn't live in you. God did not send the Spirit to live in you and he's staying outside. No, God lives in you by his Spirit. So they're not, God and the Spirit are not beings or personalities you can separate. Yeah, so saying God or Spirit of God is really tautology. Yeah. But that is to show that God communicates and deals with man supernaturally or in the spirit. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 2 verse 16. Genesis 2 verse 16. And the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, was there a tree called tree of knowledge and good and evil? Eh? Can there be a tree called, so can you have a farmland now? Eh? And you plant apple tomorrow. Next morning you plant rice. Next morning you now plant the seed of knowledge of good and evil. So when you see Moses writing, so you need to, you know, we listen to the investigative scriptures, how to read scriptures, you know, from the last series we did. Yeah. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that is Moses' way of communicating something that happened. There was no tree that God said, don't eat from that tree. There is no tree that God said don't eat from that tree. The only reason why you have evil is because you have a knowledge of good. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. That's Moses' figurative expression for saying that the day you disobey or you the gospel is presented and you disbelieve the gospel, thou shalt die. Look at verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good for that the man should be alone if you take no, you know. So if you look at verse 23, look at 23. And Adam what? Said. Yeah, so you see that man said, we see that God said. Is that true? Is that true? Look at chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had created. Who is writing this? Who is writing this? Moses. Right? And he said unto the woman, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, look at it. Can a woman say unto a snake? See, please come. If you are walking somewhere and see somebody talking to a snake, what will you do? You will take off. Right? Because in your mind, you're like, how did this snake learn the language you are speaking? So to mean that the communication that must have been happening in Genesis was not something that was done with the mouth a lot of times. So Moses was really writing about, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch of it, lest ye die. Verse 4. And the serpent said, how? Look at him and say, how? Yeah, remember Revelation now shows us that old serpent, the Satan, the devil. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? That's a rhetorical question, right? Because if you acknowledge that God is all-knowing, he can't be asking Adam, where are you? That's rhetorics. Who is writing it in that form? Moses. Don't lose track. Look at verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Now, this communication between God and Adam, was it a mouth-to-mouth communication? Remember we said something. Moses used Spirit of God to show that God communicates with us supernaturally. It means that God communicates with us spiritually. Are we together? Moses used Spirit of God to show us that in as much as Spirit of God is tautology, it is to show that God communicates with us in the supernatural realm. So when you are seeing a conversation between God and Adam, was it a boy-to-boy conversation? It cannot be, because the first of God that mankind could see is Jesus. Are we together? So it will mean that Adam was communicating with God, usually would have been in impressions. Remember that teaching in tongues and interpretation, now concerning spiritual. Yeah, impressions. So it's not that God now came. So when you see and God rested on a 7 days, it's not saying that God now all betrothed, he removed his canvas and now changed he switched to slippers. Yeah. That bridge just broke my leg. I was now walking in the car. No. That is the way we think here. Yeah, when you say God rested on the 7 days, it's not really saying that God was tired and he rested. No, actually, that's figurative for man needs to enter God's rest. That means man needs to cease from his labor. Hebrews shows us that. Yeah, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? God was, Nollywood doesn't help us in this leading of the Spirit. Because the narrative we always see from Nollywood is always very dramatic. You know, God's voice always has echo. You know, in God's womb, there's a mixer. There's a default mixer in God's womb. So that when he says, you hear, why is that? What have I spoken 3 times? Have you heard? Yeah, God's voice is clear. I've never heard. Any piece of spirit you've ever seen me operating, right? I've never for one day heard a voice from behind me. Say favor. And as I'm hearing, say favor. I'm not saying favor. No. God communicates with us in the spirit. God communicates with us by impressions. Yeah, this is going to clear a lot. Yeah, God communicates with a saint that is indwelled of the spirit by impression. So you just have an impression in your heart, or what we call the inward witness. Are we together? Yeah. So the complication that you see, look at verse 13. Look at verse 13 quickly. Yeah. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because, so you realize that from all we've been seeing, Adam said, the woman said, the serpent said, God said. Adam said, the woman said, the serpent said, God said. Adam said, the woman said, the serpent said, God. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we see interaction. So it means that the majority of Genesis chapter 1 up until Genesis chapter 3, 4, 5, and thereabout had to do with communication between mankind, God. Come. How many of you have stolen here before? If you've stolen here before, lift your hand. Lift your hand. See, you're a new man in Christ. No, we know man. I like breakfast. No, we know man after the flesh. Glory to God. If you've stolen here before, let me see your hand. Look at them. They've not stolen before. Or if you've stolen in the spirit before, let me see. Yeah, when you stole, is stealing a fruit of work in the love? Is spirit a fruit of the spirit? No, so spirit fruit stealing is a fruit of the flesh. Yeah, so if God and the devil are with you, who will most likely support you to steal? The devil. So it means that when you were stealing, yeah, the devil would have told you, you are stealing. Steal now. That's your nature. Steal. How many of you have ever heard any voice saying steal? But you know that you can have impression to steal. It was impressed on my heart to steal. Yeah. So the same way you know the problem. A lot of us always think the devil is always ambiguous in the things he does, and Nollywood doesn't help us. Even Hollywood or Bollywood. Some of us really think that the devil is actually somebody with knife, a monster. Yeah, or a fork. I don't know how they are. I know what the devil is doing with fork. But that devil is in your mind. Yeah, that devil is in the mind. Hallelujah. So you when you stole that time before you were saved. Amen. Yeah. Who told you? Ah, look at it. When you say a beautiful girl, my brother, when you saw our dear sister, what is wrong? Which one is glory? What concerns glory? Is that finished work? What is glory? Yeah. You were led back. Did the Lord lay it upon your heart? I be a beauty laid it upon your heart. Yeah, see, sometimes, eh? Sometimes, eh? You see, sometimes, you know, man, it is well. Superstition needs to be debunked before you recognize God's leading. You know, some people cannot marry fair ladies. You know, some people have a default setting that once you are fair, you are of the devil. Or you are from underwater. You know, so you need to draw the line between, you see a beautiful sister, and you like her, you walk up to her, and you know, our people will say, chike her. You know what it means to chike? You know, our ladies are always looking for chiking. Yeah. And I stood afar and I gazed. You know, the people can even twist the piece of the flesh to be spiritual. And I heard in my heart, do well. Do well to not allow her go without collecting her number. For you see, hallelujah, glory to God. Yeah, so God communicates by spirit. So we see the first things that happened upon creation was interaction between God and mind. What you now see as interaction on God's part is the spirit said. What you see on man's side is man said. What you see on God's side is the spirit of God said. Hallelujah. It means that direction is primarily in words and not in pictures. Write that down. It means that direction is usually and primarily in words and not in pictures. Direction is usually and primarily in words and not in pictures. Direction is primarily in words and not in pictures. Primarily in words, more of words. Yeah, pictures are secondary vehicles. In as much as, you know, a lot of times we prefer pictures to see some things. You know, a lot of us prefer pictures to have a physical account of things we see. You know, so, now, write this also. So that means direction will first come by hearing. Yeah, direction will first come by hearing. The only way Adam could know what God would have him do was by listening or to hear God. So, generally, direction will either come by hearing, whether negative or positive. So, what the saint needs to work on is how he or she listens, or what he or she listens to. Rather than also, that's very important. Direction primarily come by hearing. Pictures are secondary vehicles, but direction will first come by hearing. So, direction is primarily in words. It's words before pictures. Hallelujah. It's words before pictures. Just like what was written before the manifestation. We first see the words before pictures. Think about something. Now, imagine, see how powerful the mind of men are. Now, Brashegu, yeah? No, see that. Yeah? Don't think of a purple elephant. Don't think of it, though. What's on your mind? But what created pictures in his mind? Words. So when God wants to give direction, what God's direction will come with first, basically and primarily, is through words. So a saint must be careful to pay attention to what he or she listens. Because look at it. If I say go right, you will go right. What pictured you going right, or what permitted it, or what made you want to go right, is what you heard. There's danger there. Go there. Which one communicates better? If I say, brother, I better go right. There's danger at the left. Which one do you rather prefer? Yeah, but you know, a lot of our minds want to see pictures first. Why? Because if I say go right, the first thing that wants to come to his mind is, let me see the danger there. Let me just peep. It's not like I'm going there, but let me just peep. Hallelujah. So the saint is to pay attention to what he or she listens to. Hallelujah. So, you see, just like temptation. You know, the real hearing in temptation comes with unseen, basically, and thoughts. Look at it. If you are tempted by a woman, it's because you can see the woman. If a woman is dressed provocatively in front of you, right, for instance, yeah, you know that her statement is loud in itself, in as much as she's not saying anything. Come and have me. I am yours. Come and have me. I am yours. Come and have me. I am yours. You now Christianize it. I am yours and you are mine. This is what you had in mind the whole time. Yeah. So we need to pay attention to not just what we listen to, what we see. We pay attention to what we listen to. The saint needs to pay attention to how he or she hears, and also pay attention to what is seen. So directions are basically in words, like we said. So look at Genesis 1 again, Genesis 1:2. So the Spirit of God can be used to replace God. Yeah, look to Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Look at verse 3. Now, what you see, and God said, can we say, and the Spirit of God said? Are we safe to say that? And the Spirit of God said, let there be light. Yeah? Let there be light. So we can replace the Spirit of God with God there. So look at, write this also. God doesn't speak in shadows and in types. Types and shadows. There is no ambiguity in the voice of God. God doesn't speak in types and shadows. There is no ambiguity in the word of God, in the voice of God. Glory to God. God doesn't speak in types and shadows. There is no ambiguity in the words of God. And the words of God are words of faith. They carry persuasions. Hallelujah. They carry persuasions. They carry persuasion. Persuasions. Look at Genesis 3:8. I'll say that again. God doesn't speak in types and shadows. There is no ambiguity in the voice of God. There's no complexity to God's voice. Yeah, his words are words of faith. They carry, they are full of persuasions. Even the message of the gospel carries persuasions. That's the word of God to men. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis 3, verse 8. Look at it. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Dear saints, can a voice walk? Have you ever seen a voice walking? Look at what Moses said there. Moses said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Yeah? So the voice of God is saying the voice. Now that word there, cool, is the same word, ruach. Yeah, that's that word there, cool, is the same word, ruach. Not Ruach. Yeah. Now, what do cool of the day mean? Cool of the day is not now. Cool of the day is not saying it was evening time. It's not saying God finished working, finished eating, he now went to work. He now went to evening time. He now started strolling. No, no, no. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the wilderness. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. What would that be? That would be Moses writing figuratively about how condemnation was found in the heart of Adam and his wife. It's only when there's condemnation in your heart that you hear voice walking. Yeah, which is actually seen as the way Moses wrote it. Hallelujah. Remember, Moses is using the stories told to him by his fathers to write about redemption. So in seeing redemption, we see some facts stated. So we have to pay attention to what is actually happening. Every human being is spiritual in nature. You know, you hear people say man is spirit, a spirit being that lives in the body that has a soul. Yeah, every human being is spiritual in nature. Yeah, nothing in a man's physical appearance shows the degree of who man really is. Nothing in a man's physical appearance shows the degree of which or the degree of who man really is. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians, it shows us what communication as light with darkness. Yeah, so it means that you cannot see. If Paul is saying what communication as light with darkness, you cannot see a man and say you know his light just by seeing him. That means there is more to a man than what you see in the physical appearance. You know what I'm trying to say? Paul was dividing what communication would light have with darkness. Yet, in their day and time, it's not like as if one man that had torchlight, it was light. The one that did not have torchlight, no, no, no. So, what there is to man is seen more than what the physical eyes can see. Or what there is to man is known more than what the physical eyes, or let me say it this way, there is more to man than what the physical eyes meet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, man's true interactions are going to be supernatural in nature. If man is first a spirit, the communication that man would have will be first supernatural in nature. You know, really, a lot of people try to, you know, underplay supernatural. The truth is that the man is a supernatural being. So, when we refer to righteousness, salvation, that's why we call them spiritual realities. Spiritual realities. Now, do you see a man and know he's righteous just by looking at him? You don't see. The best you can see or even guess is by seeing his works. That's why you see faith without works is dead. Yeah, what was James teaching? He's not saying that if you have faith for your exam and you don't read your book, you'll fail. No. Faith without works is that man needs to see a reproduction of what your heart really says. Because man has to see with the eyes to know what your heart is saying. So when you hear someone use a scripture to teach covetousness, we can know he has a covetous heart by what he says. You can't see him stand and say, you are covetous. As you are just like this, you are just covetous. No. Until you see something, you know he's covetous. So primarily, God speaks. Things that happen are actually more spiritual than real. So if I say you're righteous of God in Christ Jesus, yeah, you might not look righteous. Hallelujah. So, God communicates with us by His Spirit, in the spiritual. That's why, you know, words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Yeah, so, in speaking words, you are not speaking to the physical. If you go for evangelism, when you are speaking to a man, who are you speaking to? Answer quickly. Yeah? If you go for evangelism, and you speak to a man, who are you speaking to? You are speaking to his inner man, not the physical body. He is only communicating what you are saying through his physical ears. But what he is listening to is not for the ears. It's for the inner man. It's for something more that you cannot see. Praise God. So in using words, we know that we are communicating. So if God wants to say something to you through me, how will he say it? What? So I won't come and stand by you and be saying, God wants to talk to you, but come and stand beside me. You'll catch the frequency. Just sometimes you catch the frequency. You will hear God's voice audibly. Now, can that really happen? Yes. When the reasons, what you will still hear is based on impressions. Hallelujah. So, the primary expression of spiritual things in the earth now are in words. Look at it. What got you saved? Nobody threw you up and hit you on the floor. And say, break me, mold me. When you sing that song,
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Break me, remold me, use me.
When you say God should break you, do you say on what? Yeah? When you say God should break you, would there be a time in your life where you see crack on your body? When I say you need to give yourself more to the things of the Spirit, who am I talking to? He's listening to me, but I'm talking to his inner man. So if man needs to use words to communicate to your inner man, God also has to use words to communicate to your inner man. That's why, you see, when you see someone do tongues and interpretation, yeah, your tongues and interpretation is to the degree of which you've understood God's word. That's why you see a man can do tongues and interpretation, and what his interpretation of his tongue is saying is that people in that street will die. I see you die tomorrow. I see you die. You will die tomorrow because you are doing evil to God. You will die tomorrow. Do you understand? So, what is primarily important to the saints? How well you listen to God's word. How much you know about God's word. Your expression of the things of spirit is to the degree at which you understand God's word, primarily. Hallelujah. 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 So, how many of you have seen words before? No matter how you say it, you cannot see it. Hallelujah. Yeah, you don't see words with your eyes, yet people act on them. You know, imagine somebody just open this door now and just runs and say thief. And somebody just open this door now and just runs like that and he just runs and say thief. How many of you still sit down? What did he say about thief? He just said thief. And he's running. The thief and the picture has created a visual representation and has given you an action to act on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, when words are spoken, like you know, almost magically, they create pictures. It takes a few seconds. Imagine a plane that is as big as this building. You know you all have a plane in your mind already. Have you ever seen a purple or a pink goat? Have you seen a pink goat before? Yes, you have. You are seeing one right now. You are seeing one. Have you ever used your eye to physically see a pink goat? How will you ever have pink goat? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a Christian must not forget that man is a spiritual being. Yeah? So when you start to, when you want to reach, have you ever had that thing in your mind that sometimes you want to call someone, but the person's number is not going, but you have some impression in your heart to pray for the person? You just be like, not necessarily out of fear, but just be like, you just pray in the Holy Ghost for a few more seconds. Do not despise God talking to you. What we do is that we try to look for the ambiguous voice of God. Meanwhile, there's that small, still voice that is always speaking to you. Because God is always speaking. God is a talking God. Always, everly, perpetually, continuously speaking. So, don't look. So, what we do is that we leave the little, what we call little in our minds. Look for the ambiguous. For the big, big things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, look at Matthew 8:5. Look at Matthew 8:5 quickly. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew 8 verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion besieging him. Look at verse 6. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. Verse 7, quickly. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. What did Jesus say? I will come and heal him. Now, if Jesus had gone to the place to heal him, what would Jesus do? Jesus will still speak. Right? He will still speak to heal. Yeah? What did the centurion say? Look at verse 8. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come in under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Look at verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and thou goest another. Look at verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said, then he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great, no, not in Israel. The centurion was looking for the minor or looking for something that looked insignificant. Look at it. Is Jesus coming into your house? Is that a big deal? Yes. What a lot of people will do, which is actually shows a sign of unbelief to a degree, is Jesus, you must come. It's a privilege to have you in my house. I come and eat rice and beans, but you must come. Yeah. But what did the centurion say? Speak a word. So words can change. That's why I said, connect your words properly and let them say, always say things positive. Yeah, you know, some people try to teach all this to the extreme, and, you know, and say, You don't know that comedian that his name has to do with death. Eh? You go die? And you know what I said? That comedian that his name has to do with death. You see, you say, Ingo die. That's his name. Ingo die. Ingo die. I want to invite you. Ingo die. Yeah? Yeah. So, I said, be careful with the words you speak. Words have great implication. You can use words to make or mar a child. I keep saying something. What changed my life academically in life was the words that my mom spoke to me. Are we together? Words. You know, most of us now that don't have children, don't give this house, or don't see your big head like elephant's own. In a way, elephant's own begins to create in his head. And subsequently, you start thinking like elephant. When you see somebody that is always doing like this, I go beat you, I go beat an elephant thinking. Because you've told him he's elephant, he has to act according to. So be careful with the words. Place premium on the words you say. Always be positive. Always. See, nobody dies from being positive. Nobody dies from having a positive attitude to life. Hallelujah. What did Centurion say? Send your words. Send your words. Send your words. So you can heal people through voice notes. You can heal people through voice notes. You can heal people through words of the mouth. You can see someone without laying hands on the person and get him healed. Place premium on your words. They are saints. Place premium. Jesus wanted to go, but he said no. Hallelujah. Why do you think that in gospel hours, you know, when we have some vigils like that, we always pray long and spend hours praying? How many of us have been to Egypt here? Yeah, but many of you have prayed for Egypt here. Why do you pray for Egypt and you've not been to Egypt? Because you are first of all recognizing that men are first spiritual beings. That's why some things happen in the spirit. Have you encountered that sometimes you pray for? How many of you have friends who you know you've prayed for their heart to change towards the gospel? And you see the manifestation. Because men are primarily spiritual beings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the primary way you want people to do something or to be something eventually is by speaking. Yeah, so place premium on your words. How you talk, how you speak. Yeah, how you speak, how you talk, and what you listen to. Glory to God. Go back to Genesis 3 verse 8. Let's try round up there. Genesis 3 verse 8. So when it says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, that word there, voice, is the word that is kol. Yes, Q-O-L, K-O-L in the Hebrew. And what it really means is a sound or a conversation, a speech or a message. So when they say they heard the voice of the Lord walking, it means that there was a speech that was happening. There was a conversation happening. Hallelujah. So now, is it possible to hear and not understand? Vous comprenez? Bien. And we comprene. You know what that means? Do you understand? Yeah. Très bien, merci. Did you hear me? Did you understand what I said? How many of you are not Yoruba here, for instance? Eh? You're not Yoruba. Beautiful. Yeah. So imagine I say salo, salo, salo. Are you hearing me? Yes. What does salo mean? Salo means run. Nigeria has put us in a station so that we know all the language. We know run in every language. We know run in every language. Say, there's no what is run in Igbo? Also, you know, if they tell you also, you just, you know, also has a phenomenal implication. You know, you once you hear also, yeah, also, you know, Yoruba, also Yoruba, also Danu, yeah, just something like tears. You know, also Danu. Yeah, that's Yoruba mixed with Igbo, well polished. Glory to God. Yeah, so imagine. So if I say salo, okay, so if I say Ejo Edide, my Yoruba is terrible, don't mind me. Yeah, Ejo Edide, don't laugh at me. Yeah, did you hear what I said? Let's assume what I said was real Yoruba. Let's assume I spoke Yoruba. What does that mean? Please stand up. Did you stand up? Did I say stand up? Did you hear me? Did you understand? No. So when you see that they heard the voice of the Lord, it means that there was a communication done. Yeah, a conversation. So I heard your voice. You may not understand what he said. Hallelujah. That word there is actually used for a message. So when you see the voice of the Lord God walking, it's actually talking about a message, a conversation, God's word. So the Spirit of God carries God's conversation. Write that down in your note while we end there. The Spirit of God carries God's conversation. Spirit of God carries God's conversation. Spirit of God carries God's conversation. Let's try that in on there. So when God wants to speak to you, he speaks to you by his Spirit. Even though it's another man that speaks to you, it's another man that God is using to speak to you by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Lift your hand and say, I pay attention to the words I say. I pay attention to the things I listen to. I pay attention to what I fix my heart on. I pay attention to the things that matter. I pay attention to God's Spirit. I pay attention to God's Word. Hallelujah. So as you go about your daily activities, pay more attention to God's Word. Yeah, make it a culture of always listening to God's word. Yeah, listen to a message. Listen to the word of God taught properly. For God will not inspire what he has already inspired. Hallelujah. Glory to God.